Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Hello everyone, and welcome to RHAP's coverage of Australian Survivor All-Stars. I'm your host, Shannon Guth, formerly Gates, here to talk about the season. This is our first bit of coverage for All-Stars, and I think it is a good one because I was honoured and privileged to chat to the host of Australian Survivor himself, Jonathan LaPaglia, and it was super fun. I hope you guys enjoy it, and stick around after because I'll give a few notes on what's happening with some coverage of the season, but until then, enjoy my chat with JLP. JLP, thank you so much for coming to talk to the superfans on Rob Has a Podcast. It's amazing that you're here.
Hey, thanks for having me on.
Anytime. You know, you are welcome on the podcast anytime, but I want to get to some really pressing questions I think the fans will have with All-Stars coming up so soon. And the first, without, you know, revealing too much, is what can they expect from such a landmark season of the show coming up?
Well, obviously they get to see, you know, returning players. They get to see, hopefully we've assembled, you know, everyone's favorites, or at least for, you know, favorites for everyone. You know, like you would expect with a bunch of returning players, the gameplay is pretty aggressive right out of the gate. So, you know, the strategy's big, the challenges are big, and the blind sides are big. So it's going to be a fun season.
Does the show kind of take an approach where it knows these players have played before? So do you make it a little bit tougher on them before they go out?
Yes. Well, you know, I definitely. I think the, you know, the challenges are more difficult. And, you know, some of the twists that we've thrown in, obviously, if they had to challenge them. You know, these guys, you know, they've played before, they're savvy, they're all savvy players, some a little more savvy than others, but they're all pretty savvy. So they're looking for ways to outsmart us or outsmart the game. And so that means that we had to, you know, we had to up our game to a degree to challenge these guys.
What would you say to anyone who kind of says it's too early for an All-Star season, having only been four seasons to choose from?
You know, initially when they proposed All-Stars, I kind of had the same reaction. And then someone pointed out that I think it was the seventh season.
Eighth season, yeah, in America. Yeah.
The seventh or eighth in the U.S.
The eighth.
Okay, so at that point, they've been going for 4 years, you know, so it was kind of similar to us. And they probably had a few more players to choose from, but our numbers were getting up to the same because we have more numbers per season. So we were getting up there with numbers. It wasn't too far off what the U.S. had done. Yeah, look, there's definitely an argument for that. Obviously, the longer you're on air, the bigger pool of players you have to choose from, right? My personal take on it at the time was I kind of wanted to go with, you know, second chance because it really is second chance for everyone apart from, you know, the two winners we had coming back. But, you know, Channel 10, you know, they like the idea of All-Stars. You know, but it's a bigger banner, All-Stars, than Second Chance, I guess. You know, so it's in terms of marketing, it has a better sound to it.
Yeah, I guess All-Stars is just a little more general. But as you said, most of these people are coming out for a second chance, except for the two winners. And they're, you know, having to prove their wins as well, I think. So I think there's a little bit of, you know, retribution or something to prove for everyone.
Yeah, you know, in the end, it's just a label. You know, I think, you know, by calling it Second Chance, you probably would have set yourself up for less criticism, you know, about it's too early for All-Stars. But, you know, it's just, it's a label to create some kind of narrative for the season, you know, so, and also marketing is part of that concept. That's what they went with. I mean, what did you think? You thought it was too early?
No, I wouldn't say it was too early because I know for Australian Survivor, I mean, they offer you an All-Star season. We got to take it, right? And like the casts have been good, like looking at how many great players you had to choose from. Like, I think there's a lot of quality there. You know, it's about having quality people, not just having, you know, if you had way, way, way more people that have played, but only a few that are poor quality, then there'd be an issue. But I think we've had some good casts in the last 4 years.
Yeah, totally. You know, look, and part of the challenge when they were casting it was, you know, some of the people that they wanted to bring back just weren't available or didn't want to do it, you know, so that becomes tricky also.
Yeah.
But, you know, in the end, I think that we assembled, you know, a pretty good bunch.
Yeah. And you know these players. You've obviously hosted their seasons before. Do you change your approach in, you know, your hosting and tribal council and challenges when it's an All-Star season to a newbie season?
Look, you know, I was excited to, you know, have a cast of returning players because, you know, especially for something like tribal council, where there's a vernacular that's required, you know, to navigate your way through. And with a regular cast, it often takes them a while to get into the groove. But with a returning cast, they've been there before, they know the drill, and we can just get straight to it. So there was a shorthand, I guess, between me and the players, especially at Tribal, that I found, you know, I found kind of refreshing. It's nice to be able to just get straight to it.
This podcast is listened to by a lot of international listeners as well, and it's got such an enormously positive feedback that Australian Survivor is really seen, I think, so positively by American players and viewers from all over the world. What do you make of that really positive international reaction to it?
Well, it's great. I mean, who doesn't want to be, you know, part of a show that is well received? You know, that's the highest compliment, really. So I guess, you know, as a crew and a cast, we must be, you know, doing something right. But, you know, I think the quality of the show is close to that of the U.S., you know, or you could argue it's on par. And, which is kind of remarkable given that we have about a quarter of the budget and, you know, and about a third of the people working on it. So it really is a testament to the crew that we put together such a show with such limited resources. And the fact that the audience responds to it, I think, is, you know, proof of that.
Yeah, speaking of the U.S., have you had much interactions with Jeff Probst, you know, especially as you started hosting? Did he give you kind of some advice starting out?
Yeah, you know, I've had, you know, coffee with him a couple times, especially when I first started. And in fact, the last couple times I was out in D.C., I tried to organize going over to his production after I wrapped on my way through. And both times we'd organized it was happening, and then it fell apart because their schedule changed so drastically. So hopefully this time I'll make it out to their set. I'd love to see Jeff in action at Tribal. That's what I really want to see. But, you know, his advice at the time, you know, when I first met him, he's like, I don't know how you do this job. He's like, it's it's a mystery to me. He's just, you know, he's been doing it for so long that he doesn't even realize what he's doing anymore, I guess. There's no method to it, you know, that he can package and then hand over to me. I guess his best advice was to, is truly listen and connect with the contestants. And I think that's great advice. Because then when you do that, the contestants are so engaged that they forget there are cameras rolling, you know, and that's when you get the best out of them.
Yeah. I think that because you guys are so close to each other in Fiji, you should do like a real tribal swap where you go do one of his tribal councils, he comes and does yours. That would really freak the contestants out.
That would be kind of hilarious. I'm sure his contestants would be like, who the fuck are you? What are you doing here?
Well, then we'll separate the super fans from the casuals in terms of the players. So then if they know who you are, hopefully they'll do a little bit better. So, you know, and one of the things that's so unique about you as a host is your Twitter persona. You really engage with the fans, kind of give it to the contestants sometimes. What's kind of the approach behind that? Because it's really rare to see and great to see from a host.
Oh, yeah. I don't think Channel 10 is particularly happy about that.
Some of it, they must love the engagement, though.
I do, and I think you need to have a sense of humor about it. You know, I love the show, but there's also, you know, I don't think you should take yourself so seriously. You know, the show is fun, and I think in the social media world, you should have some fun with it. And it seems most of the audience seem to respond to that. Anyway, that's just my flavor.
Well, we love it here on the podcast. We do, you know, your best tweets every week in our weekly recap, so definitely don't stop with any of that. And, you know, talking about the contestants and your take on them, I want to do a little bit of a mini JLP cast assessment. So I'm going to throw out some names of some Survivor players we know are coming up in All Stars, and you give me your gut take or word association that you think of those players, all right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so let's start with, like, the big players that have been grouped together. David.
David. Massive head. huge head. No, David's got it all, right? He's the guy that every guy wants to be and every girl wants to be with. So, and you know, he's super charming, he's super good looking, and he's smart, and he's a great player. He's definitely a threat out on the island.
What about Matt Rogers?
Matt Rogers, I love Matt Rogers. He likes to play with an iron fist, and it's surprising how well he rules with that iron fist. I mean, people kind of fall in line. That's how he rolls, and people go with it.
What about Henry?
Henry, the yoga master. You know, look, he's another great character of the seat, right? I mean, he was terrible as a yoga instructor, but everyone seemed to buy into it. Or if they didn't buy into it, deep down they didn't believe it, they ultimately just went along with it. And he went far, but, you know, like in his first time round, he got a little too confident and went home with an idol in his pocket, just like David did.
And Matt,
same thing.
A lot of similarities between these, you know, big name players. What about someone like Phoebe?
Phoebe is, she's a really crafty. I would call her very crafty. She's a very strategic player, also charming. She's dangerous. She's like, she kind of reminds me of Poverty.
Hmm. I can see that. What about the snakes? What about someone like Nick?
Nick. I love Nick. He's it's so weird how they label him as a snake. And I mean, he's embraced that title, but I don't really see him that way. I mean, look, I guess he is a little slippery. Yeah, I guess. But another great strategist, you know, but he's, you know, being a school teacher, he's super bright. He's an intellect. And sometimes I think he can overthink things.
I wouldn't disagree with that. Yeah, I think I, as Nick's, as a personal friend of Nick and an overthinker, I think we connect on that. So I like that about him.
Yeah. I think he'd be the first to admit that he overthinks that stuff sometimes. It's a complicated game. It's difficult when you're out there not to get into your head about stuff.
Yeah, for sure. It's different. It's difficult out in the real world not to get in your head. So especially on Survivor.
Yeah.
What about AK, another snake? Snake K, we should start calling him.
Well, AK is another great character. You talk about, you know, a strategist. That's all he's doing all day long. He's just crunching numbers. Constantly crunching numbers and never gets fazed, which I think is key to being a good player. When the odds are stacked against you, you don't get fazed. You just get back to it and you keep crunching the numbers. And that's what he does.
Harry, the ice cream man.
Harry, you know, he's similar to AK in that he's constantly crunching numbers. But he's super charming and he's more subtle than AK in that he will cleverly implant an idea that he wants executed, but he'll make the person he's talking to, he'll make them think that it's their idea. He's quite clever at doing that, and that's how he navigates his way through the game.
Let's wrap this up with just the two winners, Shane Gould.
She's an Olympic legend. And she came into the game really not knowing much about it. But she learned quickly. I think she enjoyed learning about it. Whereas a lot of novice players, when they come in, they get kind of overwhelmed by it. But she relished all the new information that was coming at her. And it was like a duck to water. She took it. She ran with it, and then she won.
And Jericho?
I love Jericho. He's this wily player who's super cheeky, but he's very clever. And, you know, what didn't really come across in his first season was how clever he was when he was working with Luke, and that he would often propose the plan and get Luke to execute it. And you didn't really see that. You didn't get that from the edit. But that's what was going on the island. And that's another very clever way of playing the game, is that you embrace another big player and feed them the ideas and have them execute. And that way you keep yourself out of trouble. And guess what? We won.
Okay, last question. The show is in a really good spot right now, two seasons in 2020, which is amazing. How do you as the host kind of see the future of it? Are we in a good spot with Australian Survivor?
I think so. It's had a little bit of a rocky journey. At the start, it's always been a well-produced show. It's always been critically well-received. And we had an okay audience in the first three seasons. It was solid enough to keep it on air, but they weren't huge numbers. But something happened in season four. Everything came together. It was a big cast, the production, and maybe word of mouth, on the street. People started to realized that it was worth watching. So the audience really kicked in season four. So I'm assuming, or at least hoping, that that will continue for, you know, five and six and so on and so on. Because I think it's a great show, and I think it's worthy of the recognition and audience that it's currently getting.
Yeah, totally agreed. Well, thank you so much for coming on again. It's an absolute honor to chat to you, JLP. Thank you so much for giving your time to the podcast.
Oh, yeah, you bet.
Thank you. Talk soon. Bye.
Thank you. Bye.
There you have it, everyone. My chat with JLP. I hope you guys enjoyed that because it was really fun to get to do. We have one more preseason podcast coming up before the premiere on February 3rd. I will be getting together with Liana Boris, as usual, to do our usual preseason fare. And, you know, we'll be obviously kind of predicting how everyone will go, analyzing their games, but also kind of maybe giving a bit of a recap on the players that have been announced for anyone who hasn't seen any of the seasons. You know, we can only really talk about the players that have been announced at this stage. So I think there's about 14 at this stage that have been announced. I will be doing weekly recaps this season, as well as exit interviews. So kind of the same as last season. Keep an eye out for all of that. Make sure you are subscribed to the Reality TV Wrap Ups channel and also International Survivor Wrap Ups, because that's where you'll get all the content and make sure that you never miss any of that. We'll be having some players obviously on to recap, some podcasters. I think I can announce that week one we're going to be having Rob Cesenino in the very, very short amount of time that Australian Survivor is on without Winners at War. It's just that 1 week, so he'll be coming on. Super excited about that. I've also announced on social media that I'll be doing the official Survivor After Show Talking Tribal with Channel 10. It's on the digital platforms. It's on 10 Play. There'll be some stuff on social media. It'll also be a podcast. So very excited about that. It's headlined by Luke Toki himself. So anyone who's listening to this podcast knows how much just to talk to Luke would be enough, you know, but obviously getting to do it with Channel 10 is amazing. And James Matheson, who is a former host of Australian Idol and very, very well known in the Australian TV industry, is hosting that as well. And I'm a regular panelist with them. So super pumped up about that. There'll be Survivor player guests on that as well. And it'll be a bit different to RHAP. Maybe it won't be as in-depth, but it'll be kind of Luke's brand of silliness more, as well as probably, you know, some good analysis as well. So hope you guys check that out, as well as the podcast. As I said, subscribe if you want to give us a bit of a preseason rating. Get it out there. Tell your friends. It's Australian Survivor All-Stars. If you are watching the show, which you should be, you should be listening to content about it, right? Like, you can't just let the show go by and not think about it in between episodes. So thank you guys so much for listening. Hope you enjoyed the chat, and I will see you on the preview podcast with Liana Boris. Bye.
Australian Survivor.
Survivor New Zealand.
21 South Africans, 12 ordinary Australians.
16
New Zealanders.
Swimmer.
£1 million.
Million euro.
Million. Rubli.
The adventure of a lifetime.
The adventure of a lifetime.